Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for that blood? Amen. Thank you, choir, for that song and that worship. I praise the Lord. Stand for the reading of the word tonight, Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture again. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 11. Didn't you enjoy Brother Nathan Thomas's ministry last week? Just really appreciate the work that they're doing. Thank you for your giving and that offering. Appreciate that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11 says, "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has broken down both one and hath broken down the middle wall, or excuse me, hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Praise the Lord. He said, sometimes you were afar off, but are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And through the blood, verse 19, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I'm thankful for the power of the blood. Amen. That cleansing, wonder-working power that sets us free and brings us into the family of God. Praise the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your word. It is truth, and it triumphs, and it will stand throughout all ages and through into eternity. I pray that you'd let your word take form in hearts, change us, make us more like you. I love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, we started this sermon series titled Kingdom Citizens, and we discussed the process by which we become citizens of the kingdom of God. We talked about how we have to be determined eligible. John 3:16 did that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful that he claimed all of us to be eligible to become citizens of his kingdom. Praise God. We talked about how a fee has to be paid, and he paid our price for our redemption. You have to pass a background check in the natural to become a citizen of the United States. Well, we couldn't pass that other than this. He justified us. He cleansed us. He erased the bad report that existed because of our past or because of sin. And thereby, through that blood, that cleansing blood, we can be citizens of the kingdom of God. We are approved by the Father, and then we commit to follow him. Our responsibility to obey his word. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. We're reborn as citizens of the kingdom of God. We are born again into his kingdom. We could say that we are supernaturalized into the kingdom through the blood of Jesus. And as citizens, we have rights and we have responsibilities to the kingdom that we belong to. Now, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My allegiance belongs up there. Can I hear an amen? But I'm thankful I'm born in America, born free. And in America, we have a constitution and we have a Bill of Rights, which outlines some of our freedoms. Some of those include, and they're not limited to, but the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom within the press, freedom to participate in protests, and freedoms to petition to the government. We have the right to bear arms. Amen. We have the right to maintain our homes. We have the right to privacy. We are innocent until proven guilty. We have the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. Now, just like those listed rights, and there are many, many more rights that we enjoy in the freedoms of this country, we have a constitution and a bill of rights in the kingdom of God. It's called the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God. How about you? And these are promises from the Father that exist to all of His children, promises that He says are yea and amen. They are true and they are sure to come to pass. Some have claimed there's 30,000 promises in the Word of God. Well, that's kind of that's a long shot there, a long estimation. There's a little over 31,000 verses. I guess you could say every verse is a promise in this Word. There are countless promises. Prophecies and covenants and different things that we could take as promise that some people may not count as promise. And we don't have time to go through all of those promises. But I want to take a few weeks to talk about some of the rights and promises associated with this chapter in Ephesians chapter 2. I believe I found 9 of those. I was going to try to get all of them done tonight. But that means I would only have about 3 minutes for each promise. And the first one is the right to hope. And I didn't think that would be justified to only talk about hope for 3 minutes. So I'm going to talk about hope the whole service. Is that all right? We're going to do that and talk about our right as children of God and as citizens of His kingdom to have hope. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for hope. How about you? I'm thankful for hope. Hallelujah. Look again at those first 3 verses if you can. Ephesians 2 verses 11 through 13 says, "Wherefore remember that you were in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." He said you were without hope. But now, because you are brought nigh or brought near by the blood of Jesus, you have the right to have hope. Now, we know, because we were far off, we know what it was like to be hopeless. Have you ever felt hopeless about something? Wave at me if you ever felt hopeless about something. One woman said, "There is no such thing as a hopeless situation, only people who have grown hopeless about their situation." Well, I think that's a good quote, and I've used it before in sermons about hope, but then I realized as I was studying this week that every situation that exists without Christ's involvement is a hopeless situation. But I'm thankful Jesus will insert Himself, if we allow Him to at times, into our situation, praise the Lord, and give us hope. You have a right to hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have a right to hope. Before we experienced remission and new birth, we were so far away from Jesus. We were separated and at enmity with God. That word enmity means hostility or a cause for hatred. It's deep-seated animosity or opposition. A good way to explain that might be if you are a fan of Ohio State Buckeyes, you hate the state up north. Amen. That deep-seated animosity or opposition. I don't even know why. I just know I don't like Michigan, all right? I've never been there. But enmity often results in wars and feuds and divisions. And in reality, it means in the scripture that we were enemies against God. But even when we were enemies with God, God was working for us, amen, to make a way for us to escape that feud and that division. He bridged that chasm that existed by the cross, amen. See, there existed that great divide between us and him. But he sent his son so we could draw closer to where he is. Living in sin, we were hopeless. But God's promises and blessings, they were not a part of our life. We couldn't apply the promises of this book to our lives when we were in sin. But as soon as we become born again, we become people of his promise and we have hope. So let's talk about hope for a minute, then we'll pray. First of all, point number one, this hope is something that God brings us into. God brings us into this hope. Hope, it's to anticipate with pleasure, expectation, and with confidence. I was reading in a book just this week, actually just a little while ago, and it didn't have anything to do with this sermon till just now, but it talked about how, we don't find Jesus. Jesus finds us, praise the Lord. And God is the one who brings us into hope. People are looking for hope. God's the only one who can bring us into hope. This hope that we have, it's not a blind hope. I've hoped in things that couldn't help me. I've hoped in things that let me down. But because our hope rests in the promises of God, it is not a blind hope. It is a sure hope. Praise the Lord. See, when we were out in sin, we were without hope. I want you to know something. God did not change. He was the same when we were in sin as much as he's the same today, as we're not in sin anymore. What changed? Our standing in him changed. We have a relationship as father and son, father and daughter, father and child, and now we have hope. God is always faithful. He's always the same. He always will be who he is and who he has been. He is true to his word at all times, but we were far off, far away, as far as could be from the promises, but the song says he reached way down for us and gave us a new song, hallelujah, and a new life, made us new creatures, and we are able to look to him with hope. Within sin, we look at him as judge and with dread, but in Christ, as a new creature, we look to him with a new hope, and it's a real hope. And he brings us to hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And we'll come back to that verse in just a moment. Point number two, this hope is a saving hope. Romans 8:24 says, "You are saved by hope." I'm thankful that I'm saved by hope. His word, knowing that he could save me and set me free from sin, gave me hope even while I was dead in trespasses. Just knowing the possibility that he could save me gave me hope and saved my soul. I remember Brother Taylor telling a story while he was preaching. He was preaching a sermon about having some things to hold on to, and he put on a fisherman's coat while he was preaching, and he had a bunch of things stuffed in the pockets of that coat, and he'd pull them out, and they were things that were attached to certain events in his life that gave him hope when things got dark. And he talked about a story where he went into somebody's hospital room. There was a lady in his church whose husband was about to die, and he said he visited him time and time again before and tried to witness to him and lead him to Jesus, but never would he give his life to the Lord. But there he sat sat in that hospital room on his deathbed, and Brother Taylor began to talk to him about the Lord, and the man finally said, I think I want to give it a try. And he gave his heart to God right there in the hospital room, and the Lord gloriously saved him by this hope. But I love how Brother Taylor said, he said, I started singing Amazing Grace. And he said, no doubt that man had heard that song so many times, but this time, amen, he had new hope, and he started singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And just about after every line, that man on his deathbed would exclaim, that's right, amen, that's right. What made the difference? Hope made the difference. Hearing of that hope brought us to a place of faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm thankful that I found him as Lord and Savior. But I need to say this, that hope has saved me time and time and time again. There have been some times in life, it's been dark, it's been dry, it's been difficult, and I had nothing to hold on to but the fact that if he saved me before, he can do it again. I'm thankful for that saving hope. Going back to what Peter said about a lively hope, point number three, this hope is a lively hope. Lively means it's not dead, but it's alive, it's active, it's not dormant, but it's constantly moving. This is not just potential hope, but it's actual hope, it's established hope, and it's confirmed hope. Potential means it could happen, it's possible to happen, but it may not be realized. But church, our hope in Jesus, it's a sure thing. Amen. You're not taking a chance when you put your hope in him. That hope is alive. It's activated. It's at work at all times. Point number four. We're moving fast. I got 7 points. Amen. Four. This hope is a supernatural hope. In Romans 4:18, what's it say about Abraham? Abraham, a man who was old in age, had nothing to show as far as posterity. But there he is, hoping against hope. See, Abraham's story, as an old man, he had a promise that he would be the father of many nations. An old man without a son, but still he had a promise to hold on to. But not only was Abraham old, his wife Sarah was old. She was beyond the years of bearing children, yet still Abraham believed, even when the natural screamed, impossible, praise God. The natural screamed, this can't happen, it'll never happen. But even against hope, when everything said, hope is shut out from this situation, Abraham held on to a supernatural hope, praise the Lord. I remember reading about a test that was done several years ago in a lab. They had some rats that they threw into a barrel of water. In the first study, they threw them into that barrel of water and they left them. And after just about a few seconds, those rats quit swimming, realizing they couldn't find any land to get up to, and they just drowned and went to their deaths. But they put some other rats in the same barrel of water, and after a few seconds, they'd reach down and pick those rats up, hold them above the water for just a breath, and throw them back in. They would do that every few seconds, and they found that those rats would continue to swim. They wouldn't give up hope. Why? Because they knew a stronger hand was going to reach down and pick them up out of the water just so they could breathe again. Church, Jesus, you're not rats tonight, praise the Lord. But Jesus did compare us to sparrows, and he said, you are of more value than many sparrows. I don't know how many times, Brother Nathan, I felt like I was drowning in different things in life, and the Lord would just reach down and pick his hand up and let me take a breath, and that one breath would be enough to keep going on. There was hope in more than the natural. It was in the supernatural. It's a supernatural hope. And if he's done it before, we can trust he will do it. I love that we sang that song on Sunday night, Sister Rebecca. Hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. So every time, amen, even when it's hard and even if it seems hopeless, we know we have a right to hope. A supernatural hope. Point number five, This hope will never disappoint. It will not disappoint you. Paul told the Christians in Rome, he said, we glory in tribulation, and tribulation brings patience. Patience brings experience, and experience brings hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. That word ashamed means to disappoint. This hope, when you put it in Jesus, he will not disappoint you. Can I hear an amen? That picture here is if you've placed your hope in somebody else or something else that didn't come through. And just imagine, I bet there's been times before when you hoped for the best and tried to do something, but somebody was on the outside looking at your situation and said, it ain't gonna work. It's not gonna work. Don't try it. It ain't gonna work. And then when you tried and it didn't work, they said, I told you it wasn't gonna work. That's what that picture is there. There's shame in that experience when you put your hope in this person, and people have told you they've always let you down before. They'll let you down again, and then when they do let you down, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed that you tried and trusted them again. And people look at you and rail on you and say, we told you this would happen. But church, listen, when you put your hope in God and in Jehovah and in Jesus, nobody, the enemy might tell you it won't work, but at the end of the day, guess what? You're going to be the one standing victorious, standing glad, standing with a smile on your face, not ashamed, because the Lord never lets us down. For the believer, listen, every trial is a win-win situation because our hope is found in the Lord. Point number six, this hope is an abiding hope, an abiding hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Abide means to stay, to remain, to continue, but it's more than that. It means to abide in place. It's an abiding in a certain place. Hope will not leave you by yourself. Hope will be with you, always with you, through the thick, through the thin. It means to abide not just in place, but to abide in time. In other words, no season can change hope. Has anybody ever gone through seasons of hard times and difficulties and storms? Anybody? And in those times, even when seasons change, hope remains the same. It continues in every season. It remains through the good and through the bad. Our hope will never perish. Everything in life, in the natural, it runs down, it decays, it eventually dies, but hope remains. Can I hear an amen? I love what David said. He talked about hope in the Psalms often. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. When he wrote that psalm in a time when he was struggling and the enemy was saying, where is your God? Where is your God? He's not going to help you. He's not going to be there for you. He was at a point where he said, I'm questioning my faith. My soul is disquieted within me. Everybody's breathing out accusations about the outcome of my situation. But he said, even in this dark time, my hope, amen, is in the Lord, and I can encourage myself and still have hope. He said in another place, Psalm 71, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. In other words, from my youth. He wasn't young anymore. He had some years on his body. He had been through a season or two. And every time he'd come out on the other side, looking back and saying it was good in the outcome. He lived a while. He was no longer in that season of youth. Yet still, after all the years, he was able to say, God has remained as my hope. Praise the Lord. Psalm 33 said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. That's just another illustration there. In a time when it's dearth and it's drought, there's hope in the Lord. It means to abide not just in place and not just in season or not just in time. It abides in condition. In other words, the hope that we have remains constant. Amen. It's the same. This is good. It's the same for every single believer. My hope and your hope, amen, if it's found in Jesus, it's the same hope. You don't, well, they have more hope. No, we have the same amount of hope for every situation. We enjoy the same hope. That's why it's important for us to share our experiences one with another of what God has done in our lives. Because as our sister or brother talks about how the Lord brought them through a certain situation and how he gave them hope in this moment, you'll say, you know, I never thought about hope that way before. I never realized that hope can work that way. We reveal things about hope one to another, and it's available to each one of us. That's why church community is so important. That's why you need to have church. Can I hear an amen? You got to have church. Finally, point number 7, if our music could come, this hope is an anchor for our soul. Hebrews 6:18-19 says, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I'm thankful we have a persistent and a steadfast hope. Hallelujah. Joel 3:16 talks about the judgment of the Lord that is to come. But listen, he talks to us in prophecy there and says that even though the Lord will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Jesus is coming back. One of these days, he's coming back. It could be at any moment, but we don't have to be afraid that he'll judge, because he already justified us by his blood, and we are going to be free from the punishment that exists for those who have resisted coming to him as Lord and Savior. We have hope even in the end, and it's a steadfast anchor, praise God. But it's not just for the end times. We have an anchoring hope for the here and now. I'm thankful I have a hope I can hold on to. Let's stand together. We talked about all that, hope, hope, hope. And the reason we can talk about this sure hope is because he is our hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Marvin Sapp sings that song, I Never Would Have Made It. Amen. I never could have made it. Woo. You ever think about that? Where you'd be without him? Without hope? Psalm 39:7. Now, Lord, why wait I? What wait I for? My hope is in you. That's what I'm waiting for. My hope is in you. You are the object of my hope. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All you that hope in the Lord. And I love this, Psalm 146:5. The psalmist said, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Oh, praise the Lord. Where's your hope at tonight? Maybe somebody tonight, you need to reverse course and come back to that sure foundation, that sure hope. Maybe somebody in this place tonight, you got some bad news this week. Maybe recently some situations have turned and taken a negative turn. And God's wanting to remind you as a believer, as a citizen of the kingdom, you still have a right to hope. Praise God. And we can trust the Lord. Let's come. Find us a place to pray. Amen. Oh, if your hope is secure tonight, you rejoice in that. But if you've struggled to find hope, right now just look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. You can trust in God. He will never fail. Thank you, Jesus.
Hope for all nations. Hope for every need. Hope for the life that's been broken. by darkness, but we know the name of light. In a day so divided, we have the love that unites. Jesus, Jesus, He is hope, hope, hope for all nations, hope, hope for every need, hope, hope for the life that's been broken. He's always been, forever He'll be, hope, hope, hope for all nations, hope. That can mend the marriage that's too far gone. The arms that are bringing the prodigal hearts back home. The truth for the lonely that you are never alone.
For the